Hey, this is Adam Sorensen, politics producer for Time.com. Welcome back to The Call, a weekly conversation with Time's political reporters on what they've been working on and the latest from Washington. Joining me this week are Michael Scherer, Time's White House correspondent, and Jaden Small, our congressional correspondent.
Let's jump right into it. Michael, you've been down in South Carolina speaking with Alvin Green, the surprise winner of the Democratic primary to challenge Senator Jim DeMint. This guy's a bit of an enigma, right? Unemployed, no political experience, no real campaign to speak of. I don't really know what to make of him. What was your impression, you know, meeting the man, spending some time with him? Do you have any sense of why he spent $10,000, purportedly of his own money, to enter this race?
I think it's an identity thing. So here's what he told me. He said that in 1988, when he was about 10 years old and around the same time his mother died, he remembers making out of construction paper a campaign sign for Jesse Jackson, who was running in the Democratic primary then and won, I think, in South Carolina, and putting it out on their family lawn. When he goes to the University of South Carolina, he studied political science, graduated with a bachelor's degree in political science. He joins the military after that, and by his account, by the official records account, has a sort of tumultuous time working, you know, in the Air Force, where he gets administratively discharged. The Army National Guard in South Carolina for a few months, and then the Army in Korea and Kansas, and he is again discharged. And I think he came out of the military. He's you know, on his fourth tour in a different part of the military, and I think he had money. I think he had no job prospects. There's not a lot of jobs for people like him living where he's living. He had no real expenses. And I think he was faced with a question of, so what am I going to do with my life at this point? I'm 32 years old. You know, the military, where I've spent the last 13 years, more or less, working, is more or less closed off to me now. And he had this idea that he wanted to, you know, be part of the public conversation. And so I think, I mean, his brother told me when I talked to his brother that he had, you know, been proposing different jobs for him, you know, saying he could go try and get a, you know, nearby correction facility, get a job. And Green has said, no, I want to do this instead. So I think that's really what's going on. And you know, what's striking about it is that Green is so Green's own vision of his own candidacy is so much at odds with the way the political system works. And he hasn't yet, you know, he's running such an unconventional campaign, which is sort of a compassionate way of saying it, that, you know, it creates these very jarring moments. I mean, when I called him initially to see if he would give me an interview if I traveled down to South Carolina, he asked sort of naively if he would get paid for the interview. And I said no. And then when I was down there, one of the first things he said to me is that he should be Time Magazine's Person of the Year. I said, so what have you done to deserve Time Magazine's Person of the Year? He said, well, I'm making the country better. And you know, and I think he sees this, his whole campaign, his whole effort along those lines.
That's truly incredible. Switching topics a bit, Jay, you've been following this, and it's kind of been all over the news in the last few days. But Texas Congressman Joe Barton, Republican, his opening statement in Thursday's hearings with BP in the House included an apology to the company for the White House kind of muscling them into this, putting aside $20 billion for this escrow account. And now there's been this huge firestorm. The GOP leadership is very upset with them, forced them to apologize a couple times, and now is apparently threatening to revoke his committee positions. Is this something that the Republicans are just worried about on a image basis, or are they really upset with what he did, and are they actually looking to punish him?
I think it's both. You know, the up until Barton opened his mouth literally yesterday morning, the meme was that Barack Obama wasn't doing enough to deal with this bill. His poll, you know, CNN poll yesterday showed his approval ratings in dealing with this has dropped 11 points since the beginning of this bill. You know, he's still, you know, it was all about Obama's, you know, address. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't a game changer. The Democrats need a game changer. And then Barton essentially handed Democrats a game changer because it became, you know, immediately the meme went from being all about, is Obama doing enough, to our Republicans on the side of big oil and our Republicans on the side of BP, and which is why the leaders kind of sprinted down from their offices to, you know, to where the hearing was being held, and you know, took Barton by the ear into a little anteroom and basically said, if you don't shut up and essentially give another apology, apologize for the apology, and then we are, you know, we're, you know, you're going to lose your ranking membership on this committee. And there's really no love lost between John Boehner and Joe Barton. Joe Barton challenged John Boehner to minority leader for his minority leader position in 2006, but then withdrew after 6 days when it became absolutely apparent that nobody was going to vote for him. So he's sort of gone, you know, he has a history of going off the reservation, of saying kind of, you know, maverick things, and I think the leadership was, you know, is still extremely worried about, you know, what else he could say, and is sitting on top of him essentially, and, you know, making sure that he doesn't say anything else, and that he, you know, remains contrite and remains, you know, doesn't say, you know, doesn't give Dems another out to say that Republicans are on the side of big oil.
I have a question, if I can intervene here.
Oh, please do.
Is there a case to be made that Barton's a scapegoat? He wasn't the first person to deliver this message.
But it was, yeah, you're right. The Republican Study Committee the day before, all 100 and some odd members, 130 members, put out a letter saying essentially exactly what Barton had said, which was that it was a giant shakedown that the White House did, you know, did this. And, you know, Republicans in general don't like the idea of the government taking money from a private company and deciding how to distribute it, how to handle it. That said, you know, and Michelle Bachmann said something similar, and there's been a bunch of members that have said similar kinds of things, but... the problem was is that this guy, you know, has been the face of the Republican Party for energy policy, you know, for the last decade, essentially. He was chairman of the Energy Committee when Republicans were in control of Congress. He's ranking member on the Energy Committee. He was the public face to their entire opposition to global warming, you know, and he did it in a venue where everybody was watching. You know, it wasn't some obscure letter that was sent out by the RSC. It was a hearing where everybody and their brother was, you know, probably one of the most watched hearings in the history of the Energy Committee, frankly. And you've got the chairman of BP sitting right in front of him looking, frankly, a little bit puzzled that someone was actually taking his side.
So I would argue also, though, and I mean, it's a prediction, I guess, but that this is not something that will likely do be remembered very well in a few weeks. I mean, no one much likes the Republican Party as it is right now, or most people don't much like them. Most people don't much like the Democratic Party, and the anger in the nation, which will define the elections in November, focuses on the government not being able to do what it needs to do. And as long as the cable networks are able to show the gushing pipe next to anything else, basically 24/7. That is such a bigger deal than what Joe Barton said.
Well, but I disagree in the sense that Democrats pounced on this, and they are going to never let the Republicans live this down. I mean, this is their immediate retort for anything that the Democrats or Republicans will say from here on in about Democratic botching or mishandling or, you know, botching or mishandling of the oil spill. Democrats will just say, well, what do you mean? You're in the pocket of big oil. You're on the side of big oil, and we're doing the best we can against you in the face of you dragging your feet in your opposition. So, I mean, it gives Democrats a retort. It helps them manage the message, you know, of this disaster from here on in.
I agree with that. I guess I would just say that I think the election will be more about people just venting anger at government as a whole failing, and less about whether Democrats or Republicans are better.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
For more political news and analysis, head over to time.com/politics. Once again, I'm Adam Sorensen, and this is The Call. Tune in next week.